You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Thank you so much. Oh my, it is really, really good to be back with you guys. We've been mainly in town the last month, and I've been dying every time I drive past the building, and I want to share a few things with you by way of summary of what God's done in us, in me personally, in our family, and therefore some of them, three things in particular, I believe are for us as a house coming into the season ahead. But I left one final word when we were heading into this sabbatical, and that was that we're going to find out how much of this church has been laid in a foundation in Christ, and how much of this church has been laid in a foundation in Steve. And I prayed that everything that's been laid in a foundation in Steve would just burn, and I wouldn't even find it when I get back. And I can't even tell you how much joy it brings to my heart to see all the things that reflect that this church has been laid in a rock solid foundation in Jesus Christ. And it's not only not diminished in my absence, she's grown. She's grown. When I hear testimonies, like the food bank, and I've been hearing the buzz around town, by the way, from others, and I hear how the ministry, people come just for prayer now, they don't even need food. What? That's where we wanted it to go. And Doug found his inner Jew and negotiated for more bags? I mean, come on, that's like in the seed of Abraham. And the healings that have happened, and the lives that have been restored, the new faces I see this morning. I don't know if you're just visiting and like, oh man, that's the pastor. That's weird. I'm out of here. I don't know what, but to hear the testimony, Pastor James caught me up on our finances, on just the feel and the fellowship over here. I cannot be happier to come back. And I can't thank you as a body enough for embracing this season that the Lord called me and my family into. It has been, as I'll share today, quite a time of refreshing. More of it than I even knew I needed going in. God's done some work in me personally. He's done some work in our marriage and in our family and in the culture of the Blair household that's just going to last for years to come. And I recognize that it's a rare congregation that's willing to release its pastor for 120 days. Today's day 120 since the sabbatical began. And we didn't work it out like that on purpose. It was God. And Jesus had 40 days in the wilderness. He said, son, you need three times as much. And we honored him in that. And I can't thank you enough for allowing me and us, therefore, mutually honoring the Lord and allowing us to have a season like this. I will never be the same. The family never be the same. And I have all confidence that we will never be the same. Not because of the work just that God's done in your pastor, but because of the things that I've been hearing God's been doing here. That there has been a connection made and a foundation grown up out of Jesus Christ in this house that will remain. This church has survived storms and controversy and adversaries for many years. But now the evidence is in, the fruit is in, that Jesus Christ is bearing good fruit at Hillside Christian Fellowship. That's because we got the most awesome gathering of believers, not just in Lycans Valley, but in the world, in my unbiased opinion. I love you guys. I have missed you so much. I have a video I'll show you in a little while that I actually recorded when I was in out west in California, and I thought I was tech savvy, but it never went through. So I'll show it to you. But you've been on my heart. You've been on my mind. You're in my heart. You're in my soul. I got 80s love songs going through my head now, but you get the picture. You have been on me, in me, and my family the entire time. So I can't thank you strongly enough. So I just use a lot of words to make it sound stronger, I know, for allowing us this season to be together with the Lord. I was going for the Moses look in the wilderness. I wasn't thinking wild, call the wild, but, you know, we'll take whatever. If I was thinking of this and just checking. Nah, it's still a stick. I was wondering, you know, that. But James And Abby, first, I want to thank you. You preached last week. We were online last week. I tried to just log into the Hillside account, but I think I switched over to Steve so my girls could comment. But I watched the service last week. I wept all the way through worship. Just to be tuned back into that spirit of worship, it is not diminished in this house, being back in the atmosphere of worship, that not just Abby and the worship team, I'm delighted at the anointing they bring, but in the house, that there's a spirit of welcoming Jesus into our midst, honoring the Lord's presence in our midst, and knowing that he's the only reason why we gather. I remember the initial inspiration for ever going on a sabbatical came from an apostle that I heard preach at a Randy Clark conference. Man, it was like 20 years ago. And this man had just come back from a 6-month sabbatical, and he was just, it was so powerful in his ministry. And I remember him saying how he argued with the Lord, as I did when the Lord first brought this to me. And he said to the Lord, you know, God, what, you know, the churches that I've planted, they depend on me. And, you know, what are they going to do? And the Lord said, son, I think the kingdom of heaven can go on without you for a little while. I've had a well in hand for 2,000 years. And to come back and experience not just a lack of diminishing the anointing, but an increase in the anointing. Abby, you, worship team, use. It's still use, not yuns. Use. You have increased. You've increased in the anointing that pours out from this platform. The presence of God that pours out into this place gives me every confidence that we're going places together. We are going places together with Jesus, and we're going together into those places. So thank you for all of the work that goes into that. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes to maintain the anointing. I don't know, you expressed, you know, how you were ready to give the call. I wouldn't have picked it up anyway, but you were ready to give the call like that. I appreciate that, but well done. Well done in plowing that soil. James, to serve as senior pastor, I told you 10 years ago when I invited you to serve here at Hillside, I wasn't bringing on a youth pastor. I wanted an associate pastor. I wanted somebody who could grab hold of that staff and shepherd the flock in my absence. I wanted somebody who would be my equal. Different grace, different anointings, different strengths and weaknesses. But I wanted somebody in the yoke with me. You know, when oxen are yoked together, there's two in a yoke, and they, you know, however big the thing is they're pulling, that's what determines how many behind them. But they're in the yoke together, and there's one more seasoned one that's the lead oxen, but the one next to him has to be able to keep up. And it's got to be just as strong, because it's not the job of that one ox to drag the other one along. You shared last week about the parable of the talents. And I want to tell you, well done, good, faithful servant. You have been faithful to shepherd the flock of God, not like a hireling, but as one who stayed in the middle of, can I say unprecedented? I haven't used it. I haven't said it yet. That's my one time. Truly unique times, things that they don't have in the pastor's handbook. They don't teach you this in seminary. I got a book up there. It's not covered in there. What do you do if there's a pandemic? It's not in there. But you've led the elders and you've shepherded this flock well through the whole thing. That's the reason why the spirit and the feeling in this atmosphere is not diminished, but increased even while I was away. Elders, thank you for shepherding the flock among whom God has given you oversight and proving yourselves to be elders. By leading this congregation on, as Joel so well shared, I forget it was pre-service prayer if he just said it, but this church has continued to move on into her destiny. We've continued to step forward. We've continued to fulfill the word of the Lord over the congregation. And that is because we have elders who are all in, who are hands on, who live before the presence of the Lord, and out of the abundance of that overflow, lead the flock of God. We all know that there are hours spent in the place of prayer, studying and meditating on the word of God, ministering to saints when they're down and broken and hurting and in need of help, and all the more in these kind of times that we're in right now. And you have shepherded this flock, and you beat me to the punch, which thrills my heart more than you can even know. Last week, when Damien got up with that honorarium for James, I was going to ask you if we could do that at the next elders meeting, and you did it because you carry a heart of honor. You carry a heart of honor for the Lord, and therefore it spills out into his servant. You hear from God. You've stayed in one accord in a time of discord. You have kept this flock unified. We haven't lost a thing. And that's because we have elders who live before the Lord and who are faithful servants of the Lord. And I could thank you 1,000 more times and take up the rest of this morning just to thank you, but I won't. Because I got the next several decades, which I feel more than ready for. I feel so jacked up on the inside from the time of refreshing from His presence that we've just had. So I would just like to share three things with you. Three things that God has been doing internally during this sabbatical for myself and my family. And three things especially that I feel God's done and will be doing here in our midst. Now I'm going to avoid a few subjects because I'd like to meet with the elders and pray together with them. I won't be sharing anything about changes of direction or any big picture vision kind of things. Not today. That's first for me to get together with the elders and we will pray and seek the Lord and we'll know what directions to go in. All I know is that God's doing a new thing. And as the word of the Lord came to me before service, I've had my burning bush experience. I've had my wilderness time with the Lord. I grew the beard to honor it. But now it's time for us to all experience what God has in store for Hillside. So the first thing that God did, and I'm not going to, I'll share stories over the, I promise you this isn't, you know, I don't want to too much about what a great time we had in different times. There have been times of prayer and seeking God. There have been times of just rejoicing as a family. There have been times of exploring and doing things that we've never done before together as a family. And the first thing I feel like God did personally in my life was restore the heart and zeal of a pioneer. We're called to be a forerunner church. The word of the Lord's come over this church many times about being like the tip of a spear, the ones who go first, like what an apostle is, somebody who's willing to go where the ground hasn't been laid before. And God blessed us. One of our awesome, we had a testimony a day during the sabbatical where God just came through and did things that were unexpected. We had plans to go to England. I was going to honor a commitment I had to teach at a YWAM base at Cambridge. And we were going to spend some time with my relatives over there and spend a month in England. We were all excited. We were buying the luggage and things that we needed, making reservations and planning all of our places. We went to go to the place where the Battle of Hastings was held, where some of my family fought way back in yonder years, and we were all excited about it. And then came the email from British Airways. No flights until July at the earliest. And so that trip was canceled. And so, as you'll see in this video, one of the themes of this, and one of the character traits of a pioneer, is that you have to learn how to take the disappointments and see what God's going to do with those disappointments. The plans that we make, the things that we, you know, it's funny. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps, the proverb says, right? I think heaven just chuckles every time we make plans. I think heaven chuckles when we get to the 5-year, 10-year plans. Oh, that's cute. That's real. I'm not against saying, look, pray and plan ahead, think ahead, save, you know, do all of those things. But we hold those things loosely. Because when we make a plan and it gets disrupted, we have two knee-jerk responses. And mine, all of our knee-jerk responses. In fact, I was sharing communion with my kids last night. Dre was out at a birth and I asked them to just, let's give some thanks to the Lord for what happened. This was Taya's Thanksgiving, that you took our disappointment from England and did something even better with it. And that was 5 weeks out west. So we went out west and for 21 days we were in an RV. And we watched the movie beforehand just to get some advice, which is a dumb movie. Don't waste your time with it. But so we were driving around and we drove along the Oregon Trail at some points. And we went through, you know, Utah, and which is a weird state, but beautiful, weird, but beautiful. And we were driving around and there was this one moment where I realized how alive I was feeling. And now that's something in the natural that God used to rebirth something in my spirit. I love change. I love transition. I love the unknown. I love not knowing what's around the side of that mountain over there. I love not knowing what's going to happen next. My wife, not so much. I don't know what he was thinking, but he was definitely laughing when he put us together. Because here's one moment. We were driving over the Sonora Pass in California, which is 28 degree inclines. with sharp drop-offs and no guide rails. We learned the difference between a guide rail and a guard rail. They're different. I don't know. So anyway, we're driving along and I'm going, this is amazing. Wow, look at this. And my wife's got her claws in her knees. She still has scars. Ask her to show you sometime. And we're going together in that and we learn how to flow together in this thing where I honor the fact that she's more cautious and she loosed me to the fact that I love exploring new places. So I want to just show you what I was intending on saying to you during that part of the trip. It was in California. It was a terrible day of disappointment, embarrassment for me, and God turned it around and it turned out to be the best camping spot that we had the entire trip. So roll the video.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say hi and I'll let you know that you are really on my heart and I can't get you out of my head. I love you all so much and I'm really, really missing you now that I know that we're gathering back in the building all again. I could actually see your faces all together. But I want to share just a quick testimony too, and I believe it'll encourage some of you, and it is a word for some of you. Yesterday, we're here in the Sierra Mountains of Eastern California and everything is shut down. We had planned on going to Yosemite National Park, which opened yesterday, but didn't know that you have to have a pre-purchased pass because they're limiting access. So that was a big disappointment that we were not going to be able to go to that national park. So we took another road that somebody recommended, and it turns out that all the locals said that they believe this road's even more beautiful than Yosemite, and we don't know how to compare it, but it's been amazing. Yesterday began in frustration and disappointment. I did some damage and flattened the tire on our RV. The plans didn't work out as we wanted them to, and we didn't think we'd be able to camp. We thought we were going to spend another night in a Walmart parking lot until we ran into some travelers who said, we are allowed to stay here in this place that you can see behind me. I've been backpacking all over the East Coast. This is the most beautiful place I've ever slept. The word of encouragement for you is that things may begin in disappointment and frustration, but just stay close to the Lord and trust Him. He always has best in mind for us. He'll always make all things work together for the good because we all love Him and we're all called according to His purpose. Oh, I miss you all so much. I wish I could wrap you up in a big group hug. I love you, and I'll be back in touch again soon. God bless you. Have a great service this morning.
So that's what I wanted to say to you about 3 months ago, I think that was at this point right now. And there's so many details on that. For one, you see how I'm dressed? That's Audrey's testimony. We never saw temperatures above 82 degrees, which you know my wife was in heaven. There was snow. I should have put it in the video. There was snow up there in June. My wife was in heaven. I did manage to drag her back with me, but she just loved it out there. But I believe that God's called us to go into places where we've never been before. We're already forced into such places by the response to the pandemic. We're already in that kind of place. But let me tell you something about our spiritual forebears, and Abraham most especially. Here's the testimony from Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place to which he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I just love that phrase. He went out. He said, I don't know where I'm going, but I know who's with me. You know, we had a GPS to guide us and to go around. And I had one moment where I really enjoyed it. I watched 21 of the most beautiful sunrises I've ever seen. Everywhere we went, I wanted to be up well before the crack of dawn and get up as high as I could to see the view. So we were at Capitol Reef National Park, and I woke up, and it was really amazing. I saw a ridge the night before that I thought, that looks like it's facing east. I'm going to get up on that ridge and spend my time with the Lord up there. So I made my coffee before dawn and climbed up this thing. And I got to this ridge. And when I got to the ridge, there was another ridge a little bit higher, which I couldn't see from down below. So I said, oh, I got to get up on that ridge. So I went and scrambled more. Now the sun's starting to come up. Sky's getting purple. Oh, I got to hurry up. So I went and scrambled up that ridge. And I got to the top of that ridge. And there was another ridge. You see where this is going, right? So an hour later, and the sun's fully up, I finally got to the highest point, almost the highest point on there. And I remembered my high school senior motto. Our class motto was, we've reached the peak. We were 18 years old. And to us, That's the peak, man. We just graduated high school. Trust me, all you in high school, it's a peak, but it's not the peak. There's always something higher. There's always something farther in. There's always something more glorious. There are views to be seen. There are places to go in the spirit that the spirit of a pioneer is saying, I love where I am right now. This is beautiful. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, but there's more. There's more, and we're not going to stop right where we are. We're going to see what else God has in store. And I believe for us as a congregation, there is more to come. But we've got to have this willingness, and I felt this refreshing of a willingness in me to say, where are we going? I don't know. But I know who's with us. The Spirit of God was speaking to me as I was climbing up. I got a little bummed. At one point, I had to leave my coffee behind because it involved a little, two-hand rock climbing kind of stuff and that. But when I got up there, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, you're doing this without a map. There's no trail where you are right now. I mean, I think I could basically find my way back down, but there was no map. He said, now, doesn't that feel good? Because I'm with you right now, so you don't need a map. In other words, we don't need to know exactly where it is and what it is that God's going to do in the next week, in the next month, in the next year. What we need to know is that he's with us. And he is so clearly with us. Second thing that God did was refreshed and helped me to enjoy the journey. Just enjoying the journey. I mean, it was really filling. We've gone on vacations before, but when you're gone for a week or 10 days, maybe even 2 weeks, you still are thinking, right? You all do this halfway through, or maybe 3 days before you get back, your heart and mind begins to shift back toward what it is. And so I do make a practice, and I hope you all do too, of spending time alone with the Lord, of allowing him to sift and sort and go deep in there to find out, what are the things inside? Are there any hurts that are unresolved? Is there even bitterness that you haven't dealt with that's been buried there for a long time? And so far it hasn't burst out, but it's in there and it's just waiting for opportunity. Or are there things, thanksgiving, just offering thanks for things that haven't happened for a while? And I want to tell you that about 45 days in was when I finally felt like God could actually speak to this man's soul. That it took that long for me to recognize that, there are things that have gone untended to. There have been hurts and, there's been there's things that have happened, not just Hillside, I'm talking all the way back 21 years of ministry. There have been things that I thought I'd fully dealt with. But when I brought the subject up together with the Lord at those dawn times I had with him, the tears would begin to flow. I realized, I've never sat still long enough to really and actually allow God in. And so I'm coming back, and my family's coming back with a practice of trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, acknowledging him in all our ways. That there is nothing in life, no event, whether minor or great, that shouldn't get processed through the filter of talking with the Father. The day it happens, the moment it happens, that we commit and we come back committing to living a lifestyle, like 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That this is the lifestyle of one who knows how to journey with Jesus. Oh, I should have gotten a picture of your tattoo to put up for that, Steve. That there's this thing about walking with the Lord and enjoying it every step of the way. I want to urge us, especially in the middle of these crazy times we're living in with riots and viruses and government thing, all the stuff that's going on, that we learn and remember that nothing gets processed without his presence. That we live that lifestyle. We don't just believe it in our mind or even accept it in our heart, but experience it. So I want to thank you for allowing us the time that Jesus could get in there to the things that I just soldiered on. I said, you know what? I'm pastoring right now. I don't have time for this. I've got 6 kids. I don't have time for this. I can't tend to that wound right now. They need me. The Lord gave me time. Thanks to you, the Lord gave me time. And I feel completely free. I can't wait to impart that freedom to some of you. I can't wait in the weeks and months ahead, the life that we have together. That's the other thing I just feel so refreshed in, that there's no rush. We get this thing, and especially we spirit people, we people of Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever tags you want to put on it, tradition. God's got to do it right now. Right now, you know. And there is a now. And when God speaks now, it means now. But God didn't usually speak now. He usually speaks, draw near. Let's walk together. And then all of a sudden that thing happened and we didn't even notice it. You ever see God do it like that? We want, boo! We would lay hands and boo! It's done. But then we walk with the Lord. And the healing happens in such gradual steps that we're like, wow, I forgot that I was even offended about that. Or, man, I forgot that that even hurt. I've had physical healing in places on my body like that. I've had it prayed for. And then one day, all of a sudden, a year later, I can move my shoulder like this again. And I prayed for that tendonitis to go away. I didn't even know God was doing it. And I didn't even notice. It's journeying with Him. It's enjoying that lifestyle. And then finally, I just come back. I really want to exhort us to guard our peace. Guard our peace. That is a gift of God. It's a given in Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace, and He's taken up residence in our hearts. So when this got contested for me, this was after that 45-day mark when I felt all, with the Lord, and then we crossed the California border. That was a weird place, man. It's beautiful. That's a weird place. We drove to San Francisco because I just wanted to drive over the Golden Gate Bridge and see it. See what all the fuss is about. I'm from New York. We got bigger bridges in New York. But it's gold. And it's by the ocean. They have sea lions out there. So I wanted to drive over the bridge, camp on the other side, and then in the morning take a drive along the coast. Nope. I drove past this handmade sign. Pandemic. It was about 8 feet across, it seemed. Everything closed. The roads were closed. I was like, dude, I just want to drive. I won't get out. I promise. I'll drive. I'll drive with a mask on. I just want to see the Golden Gate Bridge. I drove all the way from Pennsylvania. That was the feeling beginning to stir up in my heart. I stepped out of my RV and took 5 steps, and 5 people glared at me because I still didn't have my mask all the way on. I thought I was going to lose my righteous mind. Really did. And then the Spirit of the Lord reminded me, peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, which is based on circumstances, based on your understanding, right? That's why it's called the peace that goes beyond understanding. It's a supernatural peace. And I remember this old song. I was singing it, we're driving through the night, and I was singing it, this old God, I don't even know if it was a song of the Lord or if it was a real one. You tell me if you know it. This peace that I got, the world didn't give to me. If the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. Just that simple little ditty came back up in my soul, and I was like, all right, I'm not going to lose my peace. 2 days later, I woke up sleeping along the beach with 14 sea lions 50 yards away from me. Thank you, Jesus. He knew the spoken and unspoken desires of my heart and met them all like that. But the point is, there is this peace. There is a peace that needs to go. Now, I'm just going to put my toe in something because, again, I got a report from our associate pastor, from my fellow yokeman, and this virus thing, this COVID thing, and I've been hearing about it. Of course, you can't get away from it. Even if you stay off of Facebook and the news, you can't get away from it anymore. But I know it's brought division within the body of Christ at large. And some of that has tried to touch Hillside. I just want to urge you, as Paul did. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk in a manner worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, in all gentleness and meekness, forbearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring is a word used to describe Olympic wrestlers. When they're going at it and only one of them is going to be standing or laying on top of the other one by the time the match is over. It's a fight to the death kind of expression. Endeavoring to keep, which means we have it to lose. It's ours to lose. It's a gift. It's been given. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There ain't no way after 2,000 years of surviving persecutions and wars and bloodshed and persecutions from without, persecutions from within, that the church is going to be divided by some stupid virus. I'm sorry, I'm feeling very passionate about this. Jesus died so that we could have something that no group has ever had in history. We could talk about how unprecedented the United States is, and it is for sure. But the church is far more unprecedented than anything that's ever existed. That out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, there should be a throng before the throne, as John saw in Revelation, waving palm branches, the sign of peace, before the Lord together, disagreeing on certain subjects, but agreeing on one thing, Jesus. That when we keep our eyes fixed on Him, there could be other disagreements. It's not a gospel-worthy level subject, whether you should wear a mask or not, how far apart you should stand. Eagle's wings distance or buffalo? They had these signs out west to tell you, this is what 6 feet looks like. It's a buffalo. I haven't seen one yet. When I see one, I'll know. Those are issues. Those are issues I believe our elders have handled spectacularly well. And I know that there's been some disagreement within our body. I just want to urge you to prioritize the unity of the Spirit and maintain that. Because there ain't nothing about this that's going to stop Hillside from achieving her destiny. There ain't nothing about wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, social distancing, putting the seats apart, blah, 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 that's going to interfere with God's plans for this church. Do you really believe that after surviving Roman persecution, then Roman Catholic persecution, then persecution from that Protestant group against that one, persecution that this other group did against that one for 2,000 years, that this can stop the body of Christ from advancing? Is it even fathomable? It's just not. So I urge you, maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I want to really urge you, I've got such strong opinions on this subject. I do. I will never tell you what they are. Because I don't want to be divisive. There was a time that Peter and Jesus came into Capernaum further on in their ministry. That was Peter's hometown. They came in and somebody came and pulled Peter aside and said, hey, does your teacher pay the temple tax? So Peter said, let me get back to you on that. He went to Jesus and he said, so do we pay the temple tax? Jesus' reply, temple tax, by the way, was something that the chief priests added. This wasn't tithes. This was an additional tax to fund the bureaucracy of the temple structure. It was what they'd built the nation around, this bureaucracy of all the legalists and the lawyers and all this. They had to support that. It wasn't about sacrifices. It wasn't about the Old Testament system of tithing and giving. It was a new thing that had been added on. So Jesus said, Peter, let me ask you something. To whom do the sons of men exact tribute? From strangers or from their sons? And Peter very smartly answered. This is one of his moments. He said, oh, well, from strangers. And Jesus' reply was, well, then the sons are exempt. Meaning, Peter, we both know that this is not from God. That has nothing to do with fulfilling the law of Moses. It's a bureaucratic thing that they've added to fund their own wealth. And that's why they're dressed so nicely. We all get that. But then Jesus said these words, which I believe are so important. This is the heart of Jesus. Nevertheless, lest we offend, go throw a hook in the water and pull out a fish. You'll find a coin in its mouth. Go pay a temple tax. In other words, Peter, I'm going to die on a hill. But this ain't it. This is not going to interfere with the ministry that I've been called to. I haven't been called to a ministry of social justice. I haven't been called to a ministry of making right everything that's wrong. That's what you're all going to do after I die for you and change you from the inside. You all are going to change the world, but that's not my ministry. That's why, hey, Jesus, should we pay taxes to Rome? Whose picture's on the coin? Give it to him. He kept out of it. Why? Because he had a focus. I want to urge us in terms of this whole thing of maintaining the peace of God, which goes beyond understanding. Keep our focus on the kingdom of heaven. Look, there are some things I believe that can be considered persecution that may or may not come our way. We haven't experienced any of that yet. I have never been told by anybody what to say from this pulpit. Though I do get a letter from the ACLU? ACLU every year reminded me you can't endorse a candidate from the pulpit. I said, thank you. We're going to preach Christ, Him crucified and Him risen, and the love of God from this platform, and we'll preach whatever the Spirit of God calls us to preach. If that ever gets interfered with, that would be a hill we should die on. But there are other issues that we just need to have the wisdom of God. Because you know there were other times where Jesus and His disciples, for instance, were walking through a field of grain. And some Pharisees, I think they just like followed them around, looking at them. You know, look what they're doing now. And they came up and they said, hey, you guys are plucking grains on the Sabbath. You know that's work. And I won't go down. Jesus is like, look, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So there were times where Jesus said, you know what, that's bureaucratic nonsense. We're not violating the law of Moses by feeding ourselves, by pulling grain off the stalk. On a Sabbath day, you talk about lose your mind with bureaucratic nonsense. They grew up under that system. There were times where Jesus said, you know what, guys, they don't have the authority to do that, so we're just going to eat this grain right now. My point is, God has a wisdom that goes beyond human wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I used to train lifeguards. I was an EMT. I am very familiar with how to go about viral protocol and disease prevention, gloves, masks, the whole bit. I used to be pre-med to boot. I understand the basics of virology. So I've got opinions on this subject. None of those matters. I will not be wise in my own eyes, but will fear the Lord. Keep His commandments. We'll follow Him in this thing. Together. I love being back with you guys. So, here's what I want to read to you from David and exhort you to maintain this posture together with the Lord. Psalm 131. This is a song of ascents, which means it was written while David was making plans for the temple. David wrote some psalms to be used after Solomon would build the temple, to be used while they were making their way up to the steps to make sacrifices at the temple. So David wrote some songs which they sang in Solomon's day. This was one of them, a song of ascents. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too lofty or difficult for me. This was the king of Israel, whose prophetic anointing was strong enough such that he saw the Lord crucified. Read Psalm 22 sometime. It's like he had an open vision of what the Son of David would endure on that cross. This was a man who was in tune with the heart of God despite his sin. He always knew what was on God's heart because he was a man after that heart. And so he said, look, there's some great matters. I don't even get involved in that. I know that although I have opinions, I really don't understand it. So I don't involve myself with that. Instead, I hold on to something that God gave me, which is His peace. I've composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. So a weaned child. When you have that new baby in your house, we've had six of them. When it's time to eat, everybody knows about it. When you hear that, in the house, it means, I want to eat right now. That's what that means. That's the translation. But when the child's weaned, when it's gotten mature enough that it just needs to eat, there's that baby leaning up against his mama. Quiet. Calm. Don't worry. You're going to have your needs met. I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. And I believe that some of us, maybe I'm just still speaking to myself, because I'm fighting to hold on to this peace now that I'm getting back in touch with the news and whatnot and all of that. But to lean against the Father. You know, El Shaddai is a feminine name for God. And it means I won't translate it so you don't have, the many-breasted one. That's what it means. Like a mama, like a super mama. And we're leaning against that and saying, you know what, just quiet my soul. I would say that if we haven't quieted our soul, don't even open our mouths. May I suggest that? That if our soul's not in that place, because our soul's crying out for stuff, And if our soul's not in that place of weaned child leaning up against the Father's chest, let's just keep our mouths closed and continue with our ministry of compassion and anointing and healing. There's nothing interfering with that. And that's why David closes the psalm, "Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." We got some awesome things coming up in these days. And I'm delighted. I'm excited to be back. I've got so much more to say, but I'm going to stop now. And I'm going to hand the service back over to Pastor James, who's going to close us out.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.